when the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the Best Soccer Show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the Best Soccer Show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, live post-game USA, Panama, the United States falling in Panama City, 1-0 on a goal by Jossie Zardes? Or was it Anibal Godoy? Who was it? Who was it, Jared? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter Jossie who Zardes. Scored the goal.
No, it matters. It was Jossie Zardes.
Look, we will fire up the phone lines. They are actually ready to go. I'm sure people are going to be jumping on as fast as they can to talk about that game. And Jared, how many times over the course of the last month and a half since we were building up to the September window, building up to the October window, have we talked about what does rotation mean and how much rotation can you do or should you do when you have to build some continuity, when you have to have some understanding in minimal training time between players to figure things out? Because that not only was the United States men's national team not on the same page tonight, Jared.
Yeah.
They weren't in the same book. And they were barely, in fact, probably not by the end, in the same library. Like, they're just not, with the Dewey decimal system cannot describe how crap that was tonight.
Yeah, it was really poor. The question is, and I don't know what the answer is when it comes to the other teams. Are other teams rotating seven starters between the first game and the second game? And the U.S. is hamstrung in some ways that other teams are not. A lot of these teams don't have players playing in England. They don't have to take players out on the rotation. But all this was known ahead of time. The players that were brought in, knowing that they're going to have to go deep. Seven starters, though, that's a lot, man. And this team looked like it was a team of 11 different individuals that had not played together. I think George Bello looked poor. I think Sebastian Legette looked poor.
Yeah.
I think there were a lot of players out there that just were worthy.
Should I give you a ding for getting it right, or should I give you that because they're all bad and I might as well be a buzzer for you? Lose. And you lose. And you lose. They all lose. Was there one decent performance? Look, you could, like, if you want to be kind about it, Ricardo Pepi had a couple nice moments when he came in. Was there one decent? Matt Turner. Matt Turner was the only decent performance we had tonight, yes?
I mean, his feet didn't perform well, but he did.
You mean,
even at the end, the long balls played from Matt Turner were literally going out of bounds for goal kicks. They weren't even close.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even when we tried to play Route 1, we couldn't do that right. We couldn't even get Route 1 correct.
It did seem like even the idea of playing over the top and trying to go direct and trying to put some pressure on Panama just did not work out. I will say that the only bright spot was maybe for a couple minutes before the Panama goal when Tyler Adams made them better in midfield. And I think I saw Charlie Baum tweet this out, Jared, that, you know, the problem with the 4-3-3 is that you are leaning on one holding midfielder, one player there to do a lot of work. Now, we came out of the Nations League and the Gold Cup, and we thought, hey, maybe we found our guy. Kellen Acosta was fantastic against Mexico in the Gold Cup final. We thought maybe that was a guy. Was he the guy tonight? Did you see it from Kellen Acosta?
No, I thought it was his service on set pieces, which is usually something he's decent at, was off as well.
Terrible. Terrible. Even before the head bandage and everything at the end, which I feel bad. I mean, he shouldn't have been on the field.
I was almost hoping we could take him out for a concussion and get another player on. Like, at that point, because you know Zimmerman was hurting. Mm-hmm. It was really odd that Greg Berhalter used all five subs by the 60-something minute. Credit to him for going after the result, but still, you're leaving yourself nothing on the back end in case something goes wrong.
Through the first half, before Panama scored and before it looked like they might lose the game, I mean, it wasn't good, but I hadn't seen anything yet that made me think they were definitely going to lose the game. I thought they were just playing poorly and they might figure it out in the second half. And I went to the bathroom at halftime and I thought, hey, you know what? This is a game of two halves and adjusting at halftime is a part of this sport. And yeah, the United States has shown an ability to wear teams down and figure it out and find goals in the second half. But can we just please play a decent first half of soccer? Can we just one time? Look, against Jamaica on Thursday, it wasn't terrible. There just wasn't a finished product. This time it was bad, and then it didn't get better. All right, let's do this. Let's let other people rant and rave a little bit on the phone lines. First up, one of the OGs.
Michael fucking Orozco Fiscal.
Yeah, Mike from Philly. Mike, you're on the air. What's up?
I'm disgusted. It was end-to-end horrible. And I'm mad at myself for buying in to this horrible lineup. All the telltale signs were there, and I convinced myself. I sold it totally as if Greg Berhalter brought it out to me and gave me his best elevator pitch ever that this was going to work. And I just feel duped that I would buy into something that was so obviously wrong on paper. And I know everyone was calling it out, and I just wanted to believe, and they totally let me down, and I'm pissed off. I've not been this angry about a game in a long, long time, and it's totally disappointing.
And, all right, Mike.
I'm looking forward to hearing what other people have to say.
Okay, I appreciate the call. Mike and Philly just kind of lodging his feelings here on the show.
His feelings are valid, too. There's a lot of weird things and decisions were made. I don't understand pulling off Yunus Musa at halftime and leaving Leggett and Acosta on the field. And you're not really getting – you're putting a second defensive – it's almost like at halftime he said, I'm trying to secure a 0-0 win.
It did feel like that a little bit. I had that
thought,
0-0
too. Draw.
It was Adams, it felt weird to me.
You just said the problem with the 4-3-3 is you have to play one defensive midfielder. That means Kellen Acosta now has to be a creative midfielder? Like, that's what you're doing when you put Tyler Adams onto the field, that Kellen Acosta is going to move the ball forward? The one thing Yunus Musa does right, and even the first half, at least he was doing, was break lines and push the ball.
Yeah.
Now, granted, every single player on the field, especially in the midfield and the defense, were too casual with the ball all night long.
Hey, somebody, look, I'm going to listen to all the tactical breakdowns over the next couple of days from all the podcasts that do a better job of that than we do. I mean, we get into it a little bit, but I know there are podcasts that are very specifically about tactics and about reviewing game tape and looking into what happened. Tell me what that is. What you get on an airplane and you fly across the border and suddenly you just go, yeah, whatever with the ball. I'm not going to care that much. I'm just going to tap it to my teammate and leave him a hospital ball where he's going to get absolutely destroyed, or they're going to turn the ball over and go the other direction. And now I got Panama coming down my what is that? How do you explain that?
It's like they always think they have another two touches to be had, or they always think that they have another 3 yards of space. They're getting closed down. It's like, is it too loud there? They can't hear
it's
man
not,
on
it was
or
not
something.
That loud. Come on. It was not
I don't know
loud.
What's happening. But for some reason, everyone across the board has the ball at their feet and takes too long with it. And that includes, I think George Bello had a horrible game, gave nothing going forward. I think Mark McKenzie got caught in possession many times.
Yeah.
Walker Zimmerman was the only defender that I think showed well, and he could even go the full 90 minutes. You know, it was a ton of weird decisions, bad bits of play all over the field. You can't really find a positive out of it other than Tyler Adams in 45 minutes.
Yeah, the midfield was broken. So the fullbacks were bad. The midfield was broken, and that didn't change at halftime, although they got better sort of composure-wise for a bit when Adams got on the ball. And the front line, Weah was starved for service, just did not get an opportunity to really change the game. And you can say he maybe wasn't effective when he did get the ball, but he didn't get the ball. Zardes had zero touches. As far as I can tell, zero touches in the first half. I didn't know Josh Zardes was on the
field. I think we had zero shots on goal. Is that correct as well? I think there were zero shots on goal.
And if you want to add an extra layer of crap on top of the crap that we're dealing with, yes, we can maybe find out if the stats are right and there were no shots on goal. And then, again, Paul Areola serves a purpose in certain games. It wasn't this game. This was not his game. And Aronson did make a difference when he stepped on the field. It just wasn't big enough to really do anything. Let's go to Felix in Chicago. Felix, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up?
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about a couple of things. I think, Jason, you brought up Areola. I think that's an interesting one. I know there was some freaking out in the first game against Jamaica about Areola being on the pitch. Even though I get he's not the greatest player in the world, I thought he fit better in the first game because Areola's work rate makes up for Dest, who's going to lose the ball at times because his creativity and he's making these driving runs, etc. So Areola's work rate, I think, in a way, kind of compensates for what Dest is going to lose at times, right? He's going to lose the ball at times. In this game, I don't think it makes as much sense because you have someone a little bit more defensive, ideally, in Shaq Moore, right, who's a little bit more of a complete player. It isn't all going forward like this. So it doesn't make sense to me. So I just wanted to kind of continue that point you were saying about Ariola. I mean, I had something else I wanted to talk about, too.
Okay, well, Jared, I don't know that necessarily has to be that you have a better defensive fullback so you don't play Paul Ariola because then he doesn't have that responsibility to help cover as much. But I do think that, you know, when you're in a situation like this, I guess the idea is just to run around and make Panama work. I mean, again, Panama really
beats me,
can
Jason,
create things.
Beats me. Guess what? I got no effing clue. Beats me. Because here's the thing. You put Giassi Zardes in there and you put Paul Arioli in there. Neither one of them have the ability to create a shot or really create. They're both in there to work. But when you have two guys working and that's their focus, who's going to score?
Well, who's forcing the back line? Who's pushing the back line at all in that situation? I mean, Tim Weah on the other side, but where was the ball? Tim Weah wasn't getting the ball?
And I saw the same thing I saw against on, I think it was, I can't remember which game it was now, Honduras or something like that, where half the time they press, half the time they don't. Some guys press, some guys don't. This seems like there's a disconnect in terms of what the defensive game plan is. Are you going to stay in a mid-block or are you going to press? Which is it?
Yeah, Mo Adu said something like that on the broadcast. That it wasn't necessary. Look, you can, obviously you're not going to press for 90 minutes and you're not even always going to press during a half. But what you do is make sure that your triggers are clear so that everybody knows we're pressing, we're not pressing, or doing things together. If you need a couple of press, you need a couple of pressers to make the press effective. Otherwise, it's a center forward running around doing nothing, just chasing the ball while it goes wide and around him. So what's the point of that if you're not going to make an effort to pin the ball to the sideline or press a player into a turnover that you can then spring the other direction? What the hell? What are we doing? Like, what are we doing here? What were the instructions?
I have no clue. But
what were the instructions?
Felix, what was your second thing?
Go, Felix.
So the second thing I want to talk about was some of the substitutions, especially when went a man down. And I know I'm sure you're probably going to hear this. And I know, Jason, you have your joke that you always like to say is, you know, you asshole, you have a radio show. So I'm sure you'll hear this on your radio show this week. Roldan is going to be everyone's favorite whipping boy for the next, couple of days. And I'm going to get that started. As a player, I don't have anything against him in this game. I'm not sure if that's the right sub when you're chasing a goal. I understand what he brings in MLS. I don't think that quality translates to the international game. And I'm sure both of you guys were paying attention to the game. You saw there was nothing that he brought that made us more dangerous or created more chances when he came in. I would have liked to have seen is Hoppy. Not because I think Hoppy's the greatest thing in the world because he's under 20 and he plays in Europe. Nothing ridiculous like that. But his game, he does connect very well. He is very technical. He does, you know, Bruce Arena's favorite comment, right? He tries stuff. So I think Hoppy would have been better in that position, starting out wide, connecting some passes, you know, some triangles to get the ball moving. And then he could have been more dangerous with Pepe up there as well.
Yeah.
I think that would have been probably the better sub as opposed to Roldan. But I'm curious to your thoughts.
Well, so I think, Jared, I want to frame this up. Thanks to Felix for bringing it. Is an interesting question. If you're chasing the game, you give up a goal in the 53rd or 55th, whenever that happened, you're chasing the game. You've already made, what, two substitutions at halftime at that point? So you still have three substitutions left. Like, you used the halftime window. You still get, what, two more windows or three windows? I don't even know how many damn windows you get.
You have three windows to make five subs.
Okay, you get three windows to make five subs. You have an opportunity to continue to change the game if you don't see that you're creating anything on the attacking end of the field. You look down your bench. You have Christian Roldan, a very fine player of a two-way nature, right? He might have the ability to pop up and make some danger, and I do think that what maybe Berhalter was thinking is Roldan operates in a specific part of the field. And hey, I don't know. I had to go back and look. Was that part of the field? Was that channel really something the U.S. could be exploiting? Or you have a Matthew Hopp. It might not be or those two. It might not be just those two players, but you have those two players. And instead of the guy who in a moment can take the ball, skin a defender, find space, play a pullback, create his own shot, do something creative, you bring in the workhorse guy. You bring in the maybe he pops up guy. You bring in the, you know, the guy whose attacking rating is significantly lower, even if he is overall a decent player, maybe even better overall than Matthew Hoppe. What do you do?
I mean, you're not wrong. I would love to see Matthew Hoppe in most of these games, especially I just think he's one of the most CONCACAF players there is. I think this guy is up for making chaos, and that's what works in CONCACAF. I know we got a lot of like new fanboys to soccer that think the beautiful game is what's going to be played in CONCACAF just because you got players playing in Europe. You want the CONCACAF guys. You want the chaos guys. Those are the guys that classically have paid off in this. And I'm not saying that there's no place in this in the CONCACAF for playing well. Mexico does it all the time. But you know what else they do well? They kick you in your shins. They elbow you when the ref's not looking. They are cocky as hell. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff Matthew Hoppe brings. And he's not the answer to everything, but he's an answer, and he's a different thing than what anyone else on that 23-man roster has. Okay. And that's why I want to see him.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, let's by the way, just before I forget, happens to be a inauspicious anniversary today, Jared. Do you know what today is?
The day we lost to Trinidad,
I think. The day we lost to Trinidad and Tobago and got knocked out of the World Cup for 2018. That's exactly right. 4 years ago tonight, so fun times on October 10th. Yesterday was our 10-year anniversary as a show.
I know.
The Best Soccer Show happened, the first one, on October 9th, 2011. Jeff from L.A., you're on The Best Soccer Show. What's up?
Gentlemen, how do we do?
We don't
not
do.
Not as good as midweek.
We don't put the ball. We have not scored. I don't know if Jared's got plans to score. I'm very disappointed in the lack of scoring that's happening around here.
Well, look, let's look. I don't have quite the fervor that I did the other evening, so you're going to have to bear with me here for a minute. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I don't disagree. I think you're spot on, and I think a lot of the people with half a brain, which you guys are spot on with their analyses, okay? But let's just take a step back from the hyperbole here, okay? Mm-hmm. Canada tied Jamaica today.
Sure.
Canada and Panama, I would say, and I would think some of the experts like you two are, would say it's a toss-up between Canada and Panama for maybe the third best team in the octagonal. Would you agree?
I think
classically it's been Costa Rica, but not this year.
Well, no, I think he's right that Panama and Canada are both better than Costa Rica right now. So, but yeah, go ahead. I'll say yes.
Right now. So here's the thing. Despite Greg being a complete bozo with who he trotted out there today, despite the fact that the on-field product was borderline laughable for 90-plus minutes, we lost in Panama from a glancing Jossy Zardes header into the back of the net. We lost 1-0, okay? We didn't get 1 point. We didn't get 3 points. But we need to just calm down. We didn't lose 6-0. We didn't lose 5-0. We didn't lose 4-0.
But
we went into Panama. We played 90 minutes. And the only thing we lost was from a blonde, curly hair into the back of the net.
Jeff, it's not about the loss. It's not about the one goal loss. I if they had played fairly well, created some chances, came up short, incredible goalkeeping performance on the other side, okay, fine. They had 0 shots on target. They had 5 shots for the entire game. That is atrocious, Jeff. You can't excuse that. That is not the U.S. level. I mean, I think the U.S. has probably put in performances this bad on the road in CONCACAF before, but they've never done it in Panama, because this is the first time in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying that they've ever lost in Panama, Jeff.
I agree, I understand. But at the end of the day, just like in NFL football, a win is a win and a loss is a loss, okay? Once we sweep all this under the rug, and I understand you're in the business of hyperbole, and I understand you're in the business of hot takes, and that's how you pay your bills, because I pay my bills in a similar business, okay? But at the end of the day, when the dust settles, if we're able to move on from this and we're able to move forward on Wednesday evening in Costa Rica, in Columbus, against Costa Rica, and we get 3 points, we will look back at this, and it was just a glancing header into the back of the net. I'm going to let you gentlemen go. I'm going to let you run through the hyperbole and the hot takes. But remember, it was just a glancing header into the back of the net from Jossy Zardes.
Okay.
That's
night.
Oversimplification. It's oversimplification.
Okay. Yeah. Thank
it's
you over, to Jim.
He's not necessarily wrong. That is what. That is one thing
factually,
that happened in those 90 minutes.
Factually true, that take, right? Factually.
But there's
true.
Also a lot of other crap that happened during that 90 minutes, and I think mm-hmm. that's fair to talk about that as well, and not uh-huh. to be happy with what you saw over those other 90 minutes.
I said before we started this three-game set of matches that the bare minimum acceptable point total, and this is not hyperbole, this is based on the performances in the first window and where they need to be comfortable to qualify, okay? I don't want it to come down. Don't let it come down to the last day. I'm not doing 2017 again. I'm not, okay? We weren't on the air. We did come back for an emergency show. I don't want to do that again, especially with us on the air. And the truth remains that the U.S. men's national team never failed to qualify for a World Cup when the best soccer show was happening, okay? That's true.
Yeah.
This particular performance and the way that this went down is the troubling thing about this, right? That's what this is. 7 points was the bare minimum. They can't get 7 points now. The best they can do is 6. That doesn't mean they're not going to qualify for the World Cup next year, but it means they're behind the curve. It means they are now behind the pace they need to have to be sure of qualifying, Jared. That's why it matters.
The good news is there's a lot of other teams that are as well, but that is one thing that will be guaranteed by the end of the second window. You will be behind the trend of what you want to set for 6 games into the octagonal. Mm-hmm. And because of that, there's a bit of a failure going on here. Now, is it enough for a coach to lose his job? Probably not, because a couple days, as of what, 3 hours ago, we were first place. And now we're not going to be. But at the same time, I don't think it's enough that the coach is losing his job or anything. People are talking about that. But it is enough that we should be unsatisfied. We should be unsatisfied. The 8 points is a decent amount of points at this point. But what you're seeing on the field doesn't reconcile with 8 points. What you're seeing on the field is reconciling with concern and disorganization. Mm-hmm. And we would be fools to say that we think that there is a good long-term product being built here. There's not. I don't think there's a good long-term product being built here under Greg Berhalter. Okay. I think that every week we are one game away, one window away from feeling bad about this team. If we saw other things, if we saw 30 other things over this 90 minutes that made us feel good about this team, I could live with a 1-0 loss. I didn't see other things that made me feel good about this game. And I think that's why a lot of people feel the way they do.
Well,
right
it's now. I'm going to come back to the lineup here in a second, but let's go to Kevin, because this is a show for everybody calling us up right now. Kevin from Los Angeles, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. So I feel like for Musa, this game was very... It was an opportunity for us to see if he can step up, because one of my biggest critiques with him and Des is that they're players that are very good technically, but when it comes to facing opposition like Panama or opposition like, you know, El Salvador, they can't really adapt to that situation. And I feel like Musa kind of showed me that a little bit. I feel like he turned over the ball a lot of times in the first half. He had a lot of good runs pushing forward, but what's a good run if he turns over the ball and then, you know, he has to, you know, foul a player to get the ball back, and it's a 50-50 chance of whether or not, you know, he's going to play that game. But
okay.
In my opinion, the first half, no midfield. Way is up there, not getting any service. Zardes is up there, getting no service. And, you know, Greg has to learn how to adapt. Don't sub in a DeAndre Yedlin. Like, I didn't understand that sub.
Well, that was because Shaq Moore was bad.
There weren't enough subs to replace all the people that were bad.
No.
George Bello somehow made it 90 minutes. I mean, his game was horrible today. I mean, here's the thing about Tim Weah. If you're going to have Tim...
Who was your option to replace George Bello?
Joe Scally. He's in Germany right now.
Tim Ream.
I mean, all the people told me, like, either. Oh, when I was saying, oh, why didn't you bring Joe Scally? Why are you bringing the other dudes? And all of a sudden now everyone wishes Joe Scally was there, right?
Can,
all these people
were
like, oh, you can't bring a guy in because he had two good months with the Bundesliga. Well, look what you're left with. But here's the thing about Tim Weah, and I'll say this. I can't think of a time during the minutes Tim Weah was on the field that he was put in position by his teammates to play the way he plays best. Head up, running a goal at a defender. Not once did he get into that position. And that's a failure not on him. That's a failure on Berhalter and the team. How do you have... There's literally one creative player on the field. One. Is there another one in the first half? I can't think of one.
No. No, and that's that again, you talked about this, right? As a unit, if you all you've got is are sort of worker bees just like doing the job, but you have no one to sort of give the orders and make the stuff happen in order to find the goal, then it's going to be toothless. It was so predict that was predictable when you saw that lineup, right? That there just wasn't a string puller in that team. And even Tim Weah, if he is one, he is one in a system that is like, man, I don't know. He doesn't jump out as like you're not looking for him the way you look for Christian Pulisic, right? He's not going to pop up in the same spaces and be able to make the same things happen. You actually do want him running at defenders, but you want him running at defenders with the ball in space in front of him so that he has a head of steam and he can
do... You also want it at his feet. We kept putting the ball in the air to him. Like,
well, because they couldn't figure out the midfield. Again, they couldn't figure out the midfield. And I will say, and this has been said in the chat too, I disagree with that last caller on Yunus Musah. Not that Yunus Musah was good. I'm not going to say he was. He definitely had a regression from the Jamaica game, and pretty significant one. But I also think that's a function of the team as a whole, right? And how everything was disjointed, and how Acosta and Legette were working well with Musah in order to...
How many times, once Adams came in to begin the game, did you see him do nice slotted balls to Acosta and Legette, who didn't know what to do with the ball when they got it? Musah could break a line once Adam makes that little slotted pass into him. There was good...
Well, there's no
Tyler Adams was consistently putting midfielders in good positions that couldn't do anything with it. That's why you want Musah in the game in the second half.
There's no half-turn play from Legette or Acosta. That just doesn't... It just Agreed. Didn't exist, at least in this game. I think Acosta can do it on occasion, but that's not what you're asking him to do. It's not his role with this team, for sure. Let's go to David in New York. David, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up?
Hello?
Go ahead, David.
What's up, bud?
All right. I wasn't sure if it was me. You guys kind of touched base a little bit on what I wanted to talk about, the subs. I don't understand how Musah was taking off. Kellen came on as their eight, or got swapped in as their eight. But, you know, Luka could have came on. I don't know why he was on the bench. I think Jared kind of inadvertently made a point by accident by saying Greg was his subs were based on playing for a 0-0 win. It actually, I think that's in Greg's mind. I think a 0-0 draw would have been a win, and I think that's why he made those subs. I think he was trying to play it safe.
Yeah,
you know, keeping De La Torre on, taking out Musah, because he turned the ball over a couple times, but the problem I saw was Musah would bring the ball up, and he had no outlet. There was nobody to drop off to. Nobody was combining with him. So I don't really blame his poor play on him. So I would agree with you on that point.
I'll say one other thing about Musah, and I think this might be Greg Berhalter coaching Wednesday before he coached Sunday. I think he wants to play Musah again and start him on the home game. I think the midfield looked really good. If McKennie's ready to go, I think you want to have that midfield ready to go on Wednesday. And I think that might be the reason why Musah was pulled. You do a 45 for Adams, 45 for Musah. They're both ready and fresh to go 90 midweek.
Man, I don't. But again, I'm going to go back to what we said after the last.
It was 0-0 at the time, Jason. It makes sense.
I understand that. Okay, look, maybe fine, but this game and this lineup is again indicative of this big picture. All three games as a unit, we're going to do this lineup and then we're going to do that lineup and then we're going to do a third lineup or whatever. No, play the game that's in front of you. Go win the game that you play that day. If that means that you're going to start somebody you just started who maybe went 75 minutes, maybe went 90 minutes, fine, do that. Go win the game. I'm not saying momentum is everything in international soccer. It kind of isn't everything, but there is something to be said for the confidence level of this team and the ability to roll from the Jamaica victory in Austin into this game, put in a good performance, at least get a draw in a positive manner, not in a regressive, we're going to sit back and we're going to just kind of eat them up and we'll kick them around a little bit and let's escape Panama City with the draw. No, screw that. Again, we are in a position where if you have this depth and you talk it up and you talk about how many options you have, then you better figure it out. But clearly what he doesn't have is an idea on how to build a team that has continuity from one match to the second match to the third match, and he's going to play a different lineup on Wednesday night against Costa Rica, and I'm going to throw my hands up going, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how good they're going to be. What are we going to get this time?
I think you're going to get 3 points on Wednesday, but it's not secured. I don't feel great about it.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't have minded Luca De La Torre coming on. I mean, he played the other game against Jamaica. Played well. You can say Jamaica was gassed and half given up. Okay, well, we don't know that. So he should have came on. We know he is creative. He is one of our creative players. So he should have been brought on instead of if you're going to take out Moose out, De La Torre should have been the one coming on. So I just don't get that at all. Like I said, I don't blame Moussa play tonight. And I do want to push back a little bit on one of your LA callers. You know, okay, great. We went on Wednesday against Costa Rica. We get 6 points. I think too many in the fan base are going to call that a victory, a great cycle, 2 wins at home. But, you know, all these teams are really struggling, including Mexico. So,
you have a chance to put your stamp on this, to go claim your spot almost after the first two windows,
exactly,
David.
Exactly.
That's what this is.
We had a chance to take first place, basically 2 wins away from the World Cup, basically. If we would have came out today and then come out again Wednesday, because we don't know what team we're going to get on Wednesday, and come out on Wednesday, we would have been probably 2 wins away from the World Cup. And that's a big deal when you miss it the last time.
Yeah, if you can make one of those we haven't played Mexico yet. If you can make one of those Mexico games down the road inconsequential,
oh, absolutely.
That's why you would go for 3 points when you against Panama and you're 0-0 at the half.
Right, because you don't have the margin for error is somewhat significant, but it melts away real quick if you leave points on the table. And I think that, you know, El Salvador, a single point, was leaving points on the table. No disrespect to El Salvador, but the United States should be better than that. I know it was the first game, and even I said, oh, they're learning the ropes at CONCACAF. Let's give them a bit of a pass. Fine, whatever. You left points on the table at home against Canada. There's no excuse for that. You left points. So now, again, you are whittling away the buffer that you had towards qualification because you have figured out how to drop points that were there for the taking. Okay, this is what we haven't done yet tonight. I will ask now for everybody else who calls in for the rest of the show to give me your DEFCON. And Jared, let me ask you first to establish a DEFCON before we even ask any of these callers.
I'm going to say 3.
Take us to DEFCON 3.
I think you're only 1 point off of what you need right now. I don't think it looks good with my eyes, but the points and where everyone else at as well makes me feel better about our position. But I don't think the team is necessarily on it's just up and down, up and down. I would just like to see some consistency with this team. And then maybe that's too much to ask in a 3-game window of qualifying.
Not.
I don't know.
It's not. If you don't wholesale change your lineup, it's not. And one of the changes he didn't make was Turner in goal. So you changed almost half of your outfield players, right? More than half of your outfield players, right? He made seven changes, and he left Matt Turner in there. So that's insane. How on earth can you pull from the Jamaica game into this game and have an idea of cohesive play when you are rolling out an entirely new team? It makes no damn sense to me. It's
rough.
God, man, I understand you want to give your players the idea that anybody can step up, right? And that depth is a feature of this team and talent is a feature of this team. But there is no team on the planet that can rotate that heavily from match to match and keep any continuity. They can't. Portugal has won a Euro and is one of the most talented groups in the world. Guess who they play every single time they have a meaningful game, Jared? Who? Who do they play?
CR7.
Cristiano Ronaldo plays every single meaningful game for Portugal, regardless, because even if he's gassed, because he's Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, they don't have one of those. I get it. And Pulisic's not here and Reyna's not here. But you saw on Wednesday night, or Thursday night rather, something against Jamaica that you could hold on to. I'm not saying it was a brilliant performance. I'm not saying that it was I'm confident in World Cup qualifying now. But you saw a spark. And he snuffed the spark out because he didn't put any of those guys back on the field to start the game tonight. David, anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, just the last thing for you guys. I would have loved to have seen Hoppy start at the 9 over Zardes. He didn't provide anything against Jamaica, so I'll leave it at that.
Appreciate it. Okay. Appreciate it. He hasn't shown any propensity to do that, which is why whenever we predict a lineup, and Jared and I had very different lineups, although I think mine had Dest in it, I definitely didn't predict that. You can't put Hoppy at the center forward because Berhalter's never done it, right? It's just not something we can expect.
He's not going to put his guy Zardes on the bench to start Hoppy. If anything, you're going to see him instead of Way or Ariola.
Yeah. Let's go to Anthony from Florida. Anthony, you're on the Best Soccer Show. Go ahead, man.
Hi, Jason. Honestly, you're one of my favorite old school U.S. national team players, to be honest.
What? What's happening? What's happening right now, Jared? Save me. I don't know what's happening.
Wait, is this Jason Christ?
Okay, I'm going to let Anthony go. Anthony, go figure things out. Florida man.
Listen, man, if you're going to come with the jokes, but at least have a good delivery, man.
I mean, if that was the setup, you got to have a punchline. Like, you have something there, I guess. Let's go with Bob in Rhode Island. I don't think Bob in Rhode Island is going to.
And that guy waited on the hole for like 10 minutes to do that.
Bob in Rhode Island, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up,
man? It was 25 minutes.
hey, what's up,
he
guys?
Loved his material. Go ahead, Bob.
Easily DEFCON 2. Easily DEFCON 2.
Okay.
All right, let me give it to you.
I don't know.
All right, why is it DEFCON 2, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, well, first off, let's go like big picture. What happens to the game in this country if we go 12 years between World Cups? I mean, that's devastating. It's everything. So, I mean, to me, like, those are the stakes. And, I mean, I thought Zardes was really bad before the own goal. And I thought he and Ariola were basically sleepwalking, invisible. They, you know, Zardes seemed, like, indifferent. And then, was I hallucinating, or was the last 15 minutes Walker Zimmerman just kind of limping around the attacking third, and we were just kicking Hail Mary passes to him? I mean,
they threw him up just there and let him try to post up, right?
Well, it's because he was injured. You could tell he was injured. Like he that's what happens when you make all five of your subs by the 66th minute, and you're taking a huge gamble that no one's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
No one's going to get a card. And that's what ended up happening. By
the way,
until Walker Zimmerman wasn't good.
Man, I know, in addition to that, I know it would have driven a lot of people crazy, but the right thing to do was to play with 10 men and get Kellen Acosta off the damn field. And why on earth is that guy taking set pieces after he has a bandage on his head following that collision? He wasn't good on set pieces before that.
If I'm wrong, I know you can do MLS. Is this at the international level? Is there a concussion substitution in qualifying right now?
I don't think so, because we would have. I'm assuming. Well, I don't know what's the barrier. Like, what's the bar for a concussion? I mean, and what? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I saw some people tweeting about it, but I don't remember reading anything about a concussion substitution in World Cup qualifying.
It would have been nice to get Luca Della Torre on for him in that moment.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would also just say, I mean, how many players do we have in positions today where we have like two players who are better than them at that position? I just feel like when you lose this game that you absolutely should at least get a point out of, and we're playing like C-string players, I don't know. I don't get it. Zero shots on goal in Panama. It's just baffling, and DEFCON 2 easily for me.
All right, but thank you, Bob.
So, question for you, real quick, before you get next to color, Jason, because there's another topic of other colors want to get on it as well.
Yeah.
Let's assume Zimmerman can't go, let's say he's not ready for Wednesday, and it looks like that could be the case.
Yeah.
Well, who's your starting center backs? Obviously, Miles Robinson is ready to go. Mark McKenzie didn't look comfortable today. Is it the time to pull the Chris Richards?
I know there was that button at this point. Look, obviously, if they had, I don't know, created some danger, managed a point, scored a goal, you're probably not as worried about the fact that Chris Richards didn't play, but I saw a lot of grousing online, on Twitter especially, about Chris Richards not playing. And, you know, I never go to the extreme of, oh, what did Chris Richards kick Greg Berhalter's puppy and he just doesn't like him? If I was Chris Richards, I'd walk away from this team. And Matthew Hoppe must be throwing stuff in the locker room, or should be throwing stuff in the locker room. I never go to that. That's never how these things work. But yeah, I mean, look, Mark McKenzie has some familiarity in the team. Chris Richards does not. Is Chris Richards a good start on the road in CONCACAF? Probably.
But think what you
not.
Have to do in the next game. You
I
have
know,
to have ball
I
movement.
Know.
You have to break down a bunkered in defense. I think Chris Richards play at his feet is better than Mark McKenzie. And I think that's a good partner for Miles Robinson because they're going to see a lot of the ball. There's going to be a lot of the ball at the feet of the center backs to start the offense with Costa Rica is going to have 10 guys behind that ball almost at all times. I like that idea, assuming he's looking good in training and everything like that.
Okay. I mean, I'm not to the point where I'm comfortable thinking about Wednesday night yet because I still need to process this a little bit more. And let's continue with that. D-Mac from Atlanta. D-Mac, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going on? It could be better.
What's your DEFCON first, D-Mac?
I kept going back and forth. It's a 2 and or a 3. It's a 2. And the reason being, I think it's because it's the anniversary of we all know what. And I feel like there's a little bit of just playing around going on. I wanted to talk about the lineups. I know we talked about that, but I just want to get your perspective on something. So I watched about 5 or 6 YouTubers, past couple of days come out their lineups, right? And all the people in the comments had their lineups. And I talked to a couple of people, a couple of friends. They all had our lineups. No one at all came up with what Triple G came up with today. Not at all.
You mean in terms of predicting what he might do, not necessarily their preferred lineup.
Right.
But
correct. What he would do. It's hard to get his guy's mind, But no one came up with what he put out. So my question to you guys is he kind of messing around with this generation? Like, can all this just tinkering and not playing like you just talked about Chris Richards, not bringing him in? Because he is kind of slotted as the CB of the future. And not just for our team, possibly for Bayern Munich. That's very important that we're just kind of like, well, we'll play him if we're up by 5 or, 5-0 or something like that.
Well, you said it yourself, though. He's the center back of the future. The question is the future now?
Right.
And I don't think Berhalter's purposely messing around with anyone like in terms of the youth that's coming up. Now, is he having an indirect influence on them? Sure. Yeah, I don't think there's many guys. I don't think this team has ever felt truly confident offensively. I think even through the Gold Cup and the Nations League, I think they felt really confident defensively. And that's what won them those two cups. But I don't think this team has ever felt confident going forward. And if you think about it, Greg Berhalter's a defender at heart. That's what he did for his entire career.
Yeah, man, lots of defenders have become excellent attacking.
It doesn't mean
coaches.
That he will, though.
No, not necessarily. But
have 20 games of evidence at this point. Think about since the first part of summer. I mean, how many scoreless first halves have there been from May to now?
Yeah,
he doesn't either. A know how to motivate coming out of the field, and even you heard Heath Pierce, I think, said it in the pregame show. A lot of these players didn't even know as they went to bed last night that they were going to be starting. How the heck is that possible?
Yeah, I mean that's one of those things. Is it a matter of the Greg? Again, I just keep coming back to this. I keep coming back to the idea that he overthinks everything, and maybe in a club situation, like maybe if you're in charge of a team that you see every single day and you're playing a match or two every week, you can do some of those things. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a book on club management. You could check and see if Pep Guardiola agrees with that kind of maybe you can do that. In a national team setting, you have a limited amount of time to train with this team. When you are asking these players to do difficult things in a short timeline, when you're asking them to figure out how to score goals together, when you're in a World Cup qualifier in a place where, there were fans running all over the end of the field in the end of the game. And, craziness, stuff that just unsettles you as a player, especially, and I don't think they're spoiled, okay? I don't think it's that. But if you are accustomed to pristine fields and high-level security and, all the things that come with playing in some of the best leagues in Europe, that's going to be weird to you, right? It's going to feel weird to you. I do not think that Greg Berhalter... I don't know if it's not an understanding or he just doesn't know how to lock in on something simple and believe it's the right thing. He has to complicate it. And that includes how he approaches lineup announcements. I mean, come on.
Well, I'll say this. We haven't seen him go back and forth from a 4-3-3 to a 3-5-2 this window. That's an improvement over the last window.
Small victories. Yay.
We still haven't seen Wednesday. Wednesday could be some kind of weird formation we haven't seen before.
But at the same time,
I hope he goes back to basics on Wednesday.
Well, it was pointed out. So Tyler Adams came on as a second half sub in this game. And I don't know what that means for Wednesday night against Costa Rica. But it was pointed out, again, I said at the top of the show, that you rely so much on that one guy to do that job against any team that has any cohesive idea of how they want to play you. And Panama did tonight, and Costa Rica probably will on Wednesday, no matter where they are right now. They did come back to beat El Salvador. They didn't end up beating El Salvador tonight. I don't know that you should have a formation that relies so heavily on one guy. And if Tyler Adams is gassed or Tyler Adams is hurt, what the hell are you going to do? So I'm okay with some flexibility in that regard, Jared. But we haven't seen a commitment and one that makes sense with the personnel. And again, maybe the simplest thing to do is to just pull one of those midfielders back, play a double pivot. Maybe you sacrifice a body in the attacking third a little bit, but you figure it out as you go along.
But if you do that, listen, all that does is give you more defensive cover. Defense isn't the problem. Jason.
No, I know.
How does going to a double pivot help you with the problems that are going on here?
Well, distribution. It's distribution from that position on the field. That's what we're talking about here. And again, Tyler Adams is not by any means the world's best passer from that spot, but he's a much better passer than everybody else they have in that position. So when he came on the field, he made a difference. And you could see the composure on the ball, the ability to read the play in front of him, to get the ball into feet of players who have space to operate, rather than playing to somebody who's got somebody on his back, playing into somebody whose back to goal touch is directly into the path of a Panamanian or goes wayward. That's what we saw.
By the way, a couple of times today we've talked about the Trinidad and Tobago anniversary. Can we call it T-Day?
I'm going to move on. Luis in Jersey, who I believe is a Panama fan,
I'm gonna take this
wants to probably rub it in. Luis, what's up, man?
I'm not a Panama fan. This is Gringo Mark. I was actually born in Panama. My family is from Colombia. Okay. And I lived in the United States for the last 30 years. So
Gringo Mark!
Definitely, U.S. Gringo national Mark. Team. Gringo Mark, yeah. Yes, man. And
it's
that's why I couldn't believe when you and some of the other experts, they were saying, oh, we should get 3 points from Panama. I'm like, Mexico couldn't do it in the last two cycles. Costa Rica couldn't do it in the last two cycles. U.S. got a tie last time. I mean, I don't know. It's a tough place to play. I believe me, I live there. It's humid. It's hot. Close to 30,000 people on the stands. That sort of craziness with the ball. It was actually the ball boy that was actually kicking the ball. So there were two balls at the same time. That's the type of thing that they did against Costa Rica last time, the night they qualified.
Yeah.
So this should have been expected. And I agree with you. It's a total different team when Tyler Adams is playing. When he's not, they're just lost.
Yeah, man. And again, if you're going to rotate and you're not going to have Tyler Adams to start the game, have a plan that makes more sense than what they did tonight.
Well, here's the thing, though. The plan kind of worked. Tyler Adams wasn't available. They got to the half 0-0. Don't you think at any point that was always objective number one? Wasn't that always objective number one tonight?
I mean, I guess so, but
we don't have to like it.
We come back to...
Were any of us unhappy that it was 0-0 at halftime?
We weren't unhappy it was 0-0, but we're certainly unhappy with the complete lack of chances that they created in the first half.
True.
Right?
But at the end of the day, if it had been 0-0, no shots on goal, and a point... We have a lot of different conversation right now.
I would be annoyed by that, but I would grudgingly say that they got the point they're supposed to get. But I also said, and so have you, and so have many other people, that if we don't elevate expectations around this team, then what are we doing? And I think the message mostly was, hey, Greg, don't play it safe when you go to Panama. Don't do this thing where you go, well, a point's okay. Let's put in a bunch of second string guys. We'll just knock the ball around the park a little bit. We'll try to defend with bodies behind the ball, and we'll get out of there with it. It's so defeatist. You know, it's so it feeds the team that attitude, right? And no matter the attitude of the players individually, because every single one of them wanted to play, right? Everybody he put on the field wanted to play tonight. I have no doubt about it. They were excited to start when they found out they're going to start. But if you're one of those seven changes from the Jamaica win, don't you kind of go, oh, It's me and there's a bunch of changes. Oh, is this? Are we capitulating a little bit? Like, don't you?
Are we the B team?
Are we the B team? Aren't we? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go out and just get a 0-0? Well, what does Greg really think? Not what Greg thinks of us, but doesn't that infect your thinking as a player on the
listen,
field?
There was always going to be two changes. There had to be because Anthony Robinson had to stay behind and so did Weston McKennie. So there was always going to be two changes. So we were never going to see the same 11 trotted out or anything like that. But seven?
Yeah.
Seven changes? You're right. Yeah. Like, what are those guys? What's those guys think? They're excited to be out there, but do they really think that they're the best players for this team? Is Berhalter telling them that? I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
Okay, Luis, maybe we underrated Panama and the difficulty of going there, but we've also, as fans, been accused, and as pundits and analysts and radio people, been accused of not demanding more from a talented generation of players and from a coach who still has plenty to prove. So it goes both ways.
Oh, definitely. And you can tell, like, a player like Bell, which I like playing Atlanta, he's just not at this level. And that's why I couldn't believe that they didn't bring the guy from Hoffenheim. To give him a try, to just, you know, show him around. And who knows, maybe he looked better in practice because he was just getting overrun.
I mean, It is certainly a complicated, thanks to Luis for the call, Gringo Mark for the call. It is certainly a difficult thing to kind of, you know, sketch out. And he talked before the game started this cycle. He said that they were tracking minutes for players coming into the camp, right? So Tyler had played this many minutes. Brendan Aaronson had played this many minutes. These guys are playing a lot of minutes, some of them, right? They came in off of a difficult run of games in their club team. And so I understand that you want to think, well, we can't just play the same group every match, 270 minutes. And if we do play the same lineup in Jamaica, against Jamaica and in Panama, well, then we probably are gassed against Costa Rica and we risk dropping points at home, which you absolutely cannot do. The points at home matter more than the points on the road, for sure, Jared. But as we've already described, he's not just rotating and trying to figure out some, it's the full-on nature of this and losing any connective tissue you have from one game to the next.
Yeah, so things that need to get sorted out that I think will naturally be sorted out next time. Anthony Robinson comes back in on the left back. I think that puts that position in much better position. Much better. I think Serginho Dest comes back in a game where we're going to be on the offensive foot quite a bit. That problem gets fixed.
Okay.
Weston McKennie, hopefully he can go. If he can go, then Adams only has 45 on him in this game. Moose only has 45 in this game. I think you can start the same midfield.
That was the plan. I'm sure
the questions are around center back. The questions, Pepe's going to start next game. There's no way he's not starting the next game. Mm-hmm. I think Aaronson starts next game. He's only got 45 minutes on him. The questions are center back, right wing.
Yeah.
Those are the two places I think right now we don't know what the positions are going to be chosen. It will not be Areola. I think it's going to be... I think you may see Wea. I think he deserves a shot with the A team and see what can be created with a better midfield behind him. And I think you maybe see Chris Richards in that next game.
I mean, that if Walker's carrying a knock and Miles is your trusted guy, your first choice guy, and he didn't play, did he come on late? Is that what happened? I wasn't by the
no,
end.
No, I'm sorry. Didn't play at all today.
Didn't play. So you have him rested for that game. So it's absolutely Miles Robinson. I think you go back to your quote-unquote first-choice fullback pairing, although, you know, Dest will always scare me no matter what the situation is.
Yeah.
But better to play him on the right than the left. And you don't – well, okay, so Robinson's back. Bello is from played in this match. All right. Well, I mean, you're basically going back to Jamaica with two significant changes, but only two changes from the Jamaica game, right? That's what you're telling
me. Yeah, I think that's about what it ends up being.
Okay. Let's go to one more call here. Frank in the OC is waiting to talk to us. What's up, Frank?
All right. What up, guys? I was trying so hard to fake some enthusiasm, but I can't do it. as for your desk on, I am going to put it at 2 only because of the concussion or what appeared to be a concussion. A good coach would have taken Acosta out and not leave him out there. I saw that dude's eyes, and it didn't look
good. He didn't look good.
So
yeah,
based on that, it's a 2. And I have some things to say, but first, based on ESPN's statistics, it was bad. This game was just horrible.
Wait, that's what you're basing it off of? No, no, it's just funny. He was like building up to it.
No.
Based on the ESPN statistics.
My eyes told me that.
No, no, like, go I was going to make some other, I was going to make some other comment, but honestly, it doesn't matter because I'm looking at the live table right now and Costa Rica being in five, El Salvador being on, Costa Rica is on six and El Salvador is on five. Both those teams are one win away from overtaking the U.S. Let that
well, luckily there's a six-point swing. And,
yeah. First of all, I'm not wrapped up in the standings right now. I'm wrapped up on the pace the U.S. needs to qualify. That's all I care about. You can tell me that the U.S. is in fifth.
No.
If they're on pace with the points they're supposed to have at this point based on the home games and the away games, then I'm fine.
Yeah, if the first five games were all away and they got 1 point in each one of them,
exactly.
I'd be okay.
Exactly. I wouldn't care what the standings say. Now, obviously,
usually,
look, again.
I would agree with you guys.
Okay.
I would agree with you guys usually, but every team is either – every team is struggling for points right now, and everyone is tripping all over themselves. And honestly, I think we're going to qualify, number one. I just don't know if we'll qualify via the playoff. That's something that I am honestly concerned about.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, I saw that lineup, and that lineup told me Greg came here for a draw. That lineup did not tell me I am going out there to win this effing game.
Well, look, again, I think it was a mixed bag, which is why it was frustrating, because he didn't exactly go full-on defense. Because if you're going full-on defensive, Jared, you start Tyler Adams, Kellen Acosta, and Yunus Musa. Or you start,
Don't put Kellen Acosta in there. You put Lucas De La Torre instead.
Well, I mean, either way, you're talking about just defensive effort, and you're asking those players to stop attacks, not necessarily create.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said offensive. I apologize.
No, that's the midfield trio. And then front line is a crapshoot at this point. And again, Pepe maybe should have started. I guess you're trying to manage his minutes a little bit, and then you obviously play with fullbacks who aren't going to get up the field. That's how you sit back and try to get a draw on the road. That's not what they did. They half-assed it, right? They mixed-bagged it. They were like, well, we're going to try it in some spots, but we're going to mostly be like this, and it didn't work. It's why it was so disjointed. It's why they weren't on the same page, in the same book, or in the same damn library.
You had a line tonight. You were committed to
it. I know. I brought it back.
You said it tonight.
It's a callback. Learn about it.
Play the hits,
right,
man. Play the hits.
What else?
Just two last things. One, this game gave me some Honduras vibes. Greg saw this game and just approached it the same way he did Honduras, thinking he can bring players to change the game and win it. And it did not go that way. So I blame Greg on that. And second thing, we have to stop believing that. I mean, I think one or two callers already said this, but I have to say it myself. We have to stop thinking that we're just going to show up in these places and, like, win.
That's not what happened. That's not what happened.
I didn't see a team that showed up and thought they were going to win.
No,
I saw a team that was deer in headlights.
Frank, it's not. This is not this whole thing about, oh,
he might be talking about the fan base, though. Let him finish. He might be talking about the fan base.
All right, go ahead, Frank.
I am talking about the fan base. Brooks, like all these players have been through it. So I believe that the players, they themselves are there physically. So they're the ones playing this game. So I believe the players. What I want is the fan base to stop believing that just because the U.S. has all these good players, they can just show up and like dominate. No, that's not going to happen. This is CONCACAF. This is not Euro. That's it.
All right, Frank. I think that in this case, and it depends on what part of the fan base you're talking about, I guess. But in this case, what we've got is a fan base who was frustrated by a coach who played a lineup that didn't look like we could talk about dominating. Like, we didn't even put ourselves in a position to maybe have an opportunity to show off the talent level. That's what I'm. That's now, where it's at.
I know we're
up
against the hour, but Nick did give us a nice producer note in there that I want to try to tackle this. We haven't talked about this. What if McKinney can't go?
I saw him say that. I haven't seen all the.
Why
last
do you sound exasperated by that fact I brought this up? Why because, are you?
No, because.
There,
I guess because
again.
I'm
you
so
don't know you can do it.
I'm frustrated in general. If McKinney can't go, the U.S. is in more trouble.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what you're saying? You're saying they're in more trouble?
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Don't think this USA midfield can win with a or something in there?
They can, but obviously McKinney makes them better. So the question is, okay, what's the configuration? Tyler Adams is going to start, right? Absolutely has to start.
I think you played the exact same configuration midfield as you did before, and I think Luca Della Torre can play the McKinney role. What did McKinney do last time? He was defensively sound, but not defensively oriented, but he was also the linking guy. Whereas Musso was the breaking lines guy. I think Luca Della Torre, even Busio as well. I throw Gianluca Busio in there for this as well. I think either one of them could be that linking player. I would prefer Luca Della Torre in a game where you want to get 3 points, though.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's a good thought on sort of where we are with the lineup going into the Costa Rica game. And I know we're not going to have an opportunity to get together before that game, so this kind of is our spot to talk about it and preview it. And you know, because I was frustrated, because we're all frustrated with the way that Berhalter set this team up tonight, I guess what we want to see, right, is a return to the best possible lineup. And I think we all agree that for the most part, is what we saw against Jamaica with, as you said, the swap of Areola for Weah. And because of an injury potentially to Zimmerman, and I'm not sure everybody had Zimmerman number one on their list anyway going into the Jamaica game, it would be a swap of Zimmerman for Richards, yes?
Yeah, okay, and here's one last thing for you. One last thing to consider. Stanley Tucci says, hey, Christian Pulisic's good enough. Do you fly in? Do you fly in Pulisic for this game, or do you dance with a girl that brought you?
Well, I mean, the man went to a football game, so I don't know. Maybe that indicates...
What does that have to do with anything, though? I mean, he's just watching a sporting event.
No, I know, it's just funny to me. And he's a
Jets fan is no good.
Jets fan?
What the hell is that?
Jets?
The dude's in Hershey, Pennsylvania. How do you become a Jets fan?
The Jets? The Jets?
I don't know, man. If he's available,
if he can get on an airplane tonight, tomorrow morning, be there for a training session, a walkthrough, yeah, I'd like to have him on the bench. I would. I would swap
him out.
You're
going to fly him in to be on the bench?
I would like... I don't think you can start him. I don't think you could start him coming off the injury with cold as ice like that.
Okay, if you can't start him, I don't think you bring him.
Well, fine, then don't bring him. I'm saying you asked me the question if he was available, would I fly him in? I said, yeah, if I have the option to bring him in, then I'll put him in the team in case I need to break glass. But I mean, you say what practically speaking, you don't fly him in if he doesn't start? Why? Are you thinking like Berhalter?
No, I think it's a lot to fly a dude all the way halfway across the world.
Is this about carbon footprint? What are you talking about here?
No, I think it's also about what does it say to the rest of the players you brought? You guys aren't
good enough. That Christian
Pulisic
is really freaking good and we need him right now.
We won 3-0 with 2-0 just the other day without Christian Pulisic at home.
Okay, but there's not a player in that team who isn't going to be like, oh yeah, let's get Christian in here because we need to make sure of these 3 points, because you don't even have a chance to make the World Cup roster if the U.S. doesn't qualify for the World Cup. So Christian Pulisic can help you do that against Costa Rica. Bring the dude in. Put him on a private jet. Bring the what's the supersonic plane that they just canceled a couple
Concorde?
Years back? Bring the Concorde back. Get that dude on a Concorde. Let's go. Like, just for Christian Pulisic. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you start him, I agree. If you're going to put him on the bench, I don't agree.
Yeah. I don't, but that doesn't make any sense to me. If he's available, bring him in. Worry about that part when you get him here. Right?
Okay.
What I'm saying is if he was available and in my team, I would worry about starting him coming after his layoff. But it doesn't mean I don't want him around. It doesn't mean I wouldn't like to have him just in case. I'll give a spot to him on the roster. And then, hey, 10 minutes at the end of the game, chasing it at home against Costa Rica. Why not? Why not?
Okay.
All right. Do we have any other business to get to here? I will say this. Unfortunately, I would love to tell everybody for sure 100% we're on the air after the Costa Rica game on Wednesday night. I cannot say that yet. I will talk business with my boys here, and we will get to that. Is there any other business to do?
No, not to my knowledge, no. Other than Berhalter has some business to attend to. His team has some business to attend to.
Okay. Well, in that case, I mean, the post-game shows are always a little bit tighter, right? They're always a even when we win, it's still like, okay. The United States men's national team falls to Panama in Panama City. If you enjoyed this program, if you want to come back and listen to us, go and like and subscribe everything so you get a reminder that we're doing this stuff. Again, there's a pretty decent chance we'll be on the air Wednesday, but I can't guarantee anything yet. And then we'll be subsequently back on the air doing post-game
shows. If there is going to be a show, you'll notice Nick pre-schedules them. You'll see it a couple days in advance on YouTube. If you're following us on there, subscribed, you'll get a notice that there's a placeholder out there. You'll know what time that it's happening. So yeah. If you're not following yet, go ahead and go over to YouTube and subscribe.
Regardless of Wednesday night, we'll definitely be back on Sunday with our normal live show on a Sunday night. So it'll be an opportunity to talk about this entire window of matches and everything it delivered and however many points we have at the end of it and DEFCON levels. And we just had a question there in the chat, Jared, from New Patch.
I said
here.
Mine. I don't think you said yours. Yeah,
I'm going to go, too. I'm going, too.
Go to DEFCON, too.
I mean, it's not
to be clear. One is DEFCON. One is fire Greg Berhalter, right?
DEFCON one is fire Greg Berhalter. I am not calling for Greg Berhalter to be fired, but I think that the performance on
where
Wednesday,
were you after last game?
I think I was at a four after the last game because
so you jumped two. That's how bad this game was
because this game was bad because they created so little. I'm looking at the stats from FUTMOB and I couldn't pull up the FB ref stats because I don't think they've updated them yet. But looking at the stats from FUTMOB, it is. Zero big chances the United States had in that game. They created three chances overall, five total shots, zero on target. They passed at an 80% rate, which seems high, actually, considering what I saw tonight. They were bad. They were extremely bad.
I hate statistics so much.
Well, it's just numbers. Those are just numbers. They're not like XG and Y and all that stuff that you don't like, right?
No, I definitely don't like those either.
Jared's like, stop counting things. Does everybody
listen? I'm just saying, certain numbers have been used against me in my personal life. If you know what I mean. Not everything's meant to be measured.
Don't know what that
or timed.
I don't know what that means either.
Some of us are able to have a lot of creativity without those two things.
All right. We can't unpack that tonight. We cannot do it. Patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. If you want to join up with the besties, we have a show Slack, which is a fun time even during bad games. Lots of back and forth over there, travel. And I think Tom was flexing on everybody over in the travel channel, right? Was it Tom?
He lives in Mexico City, so he's a Mexico fan. Is that what's happening?
He moved to Mexico City, and he's sharing pictures of him visiting Monterrey, which looks beautiful. So yeah. Anyway, there's that. There's beer stuff. There's poker stuff. Ted Lasso. Everybody broke down Ted Lasso ahead of the. I had to avoid the channel because I was so far behind. I caught up.
Watch it till today.
It was today that I saw everything. So I'm now caught up, but I had to avoid that channel. It was stood there like unread, and my completest self was like, "Don't click on." That because it'll spoil it. All right, that's it. We're gonna get out of here. Thank you for listening, guys. Hopefully on Wednesday night we'll have something to celebrate. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Thanks, Nick.
Damn, dog, that's inappropriate.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Danger zone.
Michael fucking Arasco Pascal,
the sausage king of Chicago.
Go to DEFCON 2.
Yeah. Who asked those questions? You got to coordinate.
Get to the chopper!
Eddie, what have you done for me lately?
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yup. WNBC. WNBC.
Jay Rodius.